Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. Success leaves footprints. History leaves footprints. But oftentimes we're not exposed to them. And we are exposed to a number of myths. And in these myths, we are led to believe something completely different than the actual facts that are there. Today, we're going to dig into the story of Dr. Jocelyn Elders. Dr. Elders was the Surgeon General of the United States of America. That is the Chief Health Officer, and it is a uniformed position in the United States, and they are responsible for public health. That is describing public health, what it is, and what should be done about it. It requires frank discussion sometimes on what is being done. She rose to this position, and what I'm going to do is spend a few minutes, not let me go through a housekeeping thing at this point, because many of you join us on your cell phone or other device. And if you're using the link to listen to us, we appreciate you, we love you, and that is perfectly appropriate. I don't want you to change anything, but I do want you to be aware that the only way that I can talk with you during the broadcast is if you call in. There's a number there that you can call in on, at 646-668-8217. And you will show on my dashboard. Otherwise, even if you're calling from a cell phone, I don't see you. Initially, I start with the mics closed. Later into the broadcast, it will be open. The primary topic that we're talking about today is Dr. Jocelyn Elders, but we are open to a variety of other subjects on the topic. Not necessarily the topic, but the subject of amazing Black history. I do a blog post every week, and on Thursday, I post the subject matter that is going to be our primary concern on Sunday. You can go to AmazingBlackHistory.com and look at those posts. They're in excess of 250 there. The purpose of having this blog site is to expose people information that is barely given to us or rarely given to us in middle school, high school, even college. And therefore, we are left with the image that is being portrayed, which is false. And rather than just giving you a sentence or two, you can summarize it up as a sentence or two. We have a summary. But the intent is not just to give you a summary. The intent is to allow you to dig deeper. One of the questions that I get is, where can I find more information about this topic? By scrolling down, you'll come across videos. You'll come across books. There is a Contact Us link that allows you to ask us questions, or you can come onto the program. So while we are primarily talking about Dr. Elders, there are other topics that we can talk about. And that's why I usually reserve that time towards the latter part of the show. We don't always go to the end, because if there are no questions, I usually just let it fade at that point. But I am more than willing to entertain your questions. I do ask that when the mics are open, if you're calling on a cell phone, there is a microphone-looking icon, and if you touch it, it lights up and there is a slash going through it indicating that we cannot hear the background. Is good, because we don't hear the dog barking, we don't hear the train going by, we don't hear pots and pans rattling. And when it comes your turn to speak, all you have to do is simply touch that icon again, ask your question, turn it back on so that it does not disturb others. If you're calling from a regular phone, usually star 6 mutes, star 6 unmutes. And these simple things make it much easier for those people that are listening to the broadcast to hear what's going on and to understand what is going on. We certainly encourage you to listen. And this is the purpose of doing this. Now, as we get ready to get started, or, well, we've already started, obviously, into the discussion, let us give you a little background about Jocelyn Elders. She was the oldest of 8 children and born in Arkansas. And while there, her parents later moved to California. Now, many people moved east and moved west. If you've ever read the book Warmth of Other Suns, their great book, you will see that there was migration, because most people in the South, as you may recall, or you may not recall, because many times these facts are only evident because we've studied it and find that there was a very disparate treatment between the free people and the white people. And most of the enslaved people had been people of color. They were not paid for their services while they were enslaved. They were unable to accumulate any wealth. They were unable to accumulate homes, which increase in value, which is one of the main reasons that we have a strong middle class, because they were able to do that. We have, and her parents were, sharecroppers. And what could be fairer than sharecropping? Someone owns the land, they allow you to come on it and work it, and you split the proceeds of what happens. Well, there are hidden details. There's a behind the scenes that take place in most of these stories that are seldom exposed. We seldom see them. And what happened in this case is that in order to plant a crop, you need seeds. If you don't have money to start with, you need food to sustain yourself. You need housing to domicile in. And much of this you don't have. And so you're at the mercy of your partner, so to speak. These partners are making a ton of money on the front end of this concept because they have the money to buy it. They will pay one price for seed, and everything that you eat comes from their store. And in many cases where you're given script, it can only be used in that store. It can't be used somewhere else. They can't go online to an Amazon, use Google or whatever to find the best prices. It was unheard of in those days. So what happens is that between normally, and it could be much greater, is between 30 and 50% markup over prices that would be charged to non-ex-slaves is charged to you. What happens at the end of the year, you owe more than you made. And this is used as a club. When we spoke about Ruby Bridges was a 6-year-old young lady that integrated in the first wave of black students being allowed into white schools. Her grandparents, who didn't even live in that city, had sharecropped for 25 years, suddenly found themselves without a place to live. Because the far-reaching tentacles of racism, the hatred, and all that proceeds in this game, if you want to call it that, allowed that to happen. So this was one way of quelling any dissent that took place. During this time, many people were being lynched without a trial, and we consider that to be very basic in America, very basic, a trial against a chance to appear before your peers. But that's not what happened in those days. It was not a mixed-race jury. If there was a jury at all, it was an all-white jury that had been preconditioned to believe that you had no good within you, and you were subject to being convicted, lynched for minor crimes. And this is the difference. And on the surface, it appears very fair. On the surface. But look at it. You are working. They are not. You are producing. They are not. The land that they got, and some people take exception to the fact that it was has been described as stolen land, but that land belonged to the Native Americans before the Europeans arrived. They did not compensate them. In fact, there was not a sale. They were basically, the Native Americans were basically forced into an area less than 1% of the land that they owned without compensation. I consider that to be stolen. So the land basically was free. In fact, when indentured servants came over and served their term of indenture, they were normally given land, 100 acres, 250 acres, whatever the case may be. But in my opinion, a significant amount of land because it didn't cost anything. But the person that had financed your trip was a benefactor of your labor for X number of years, generally 5 to 7. And you worked, and you worked hard. And what this did is allowed that slave owner, that person that paid for your travel to this country, benefited mightily. In the heyday of slavery, well over half of all of the gross national product of America was born on the back of slaves, So Jocelyn Elder's parents were sharecroppers, which meant they were tied to that land. Where else could they go? They couldn't take the earnings of their labors and purchase land because they weren't given land. They were getting deeper and deeper in debt as every year passed. On a good year, they were charged more. On a poor year, they just barely broke even or didn't go as far into debt. This is what we often don't see. I'm not spending a lot of time at this point. There is a time when we need to talk about some of the handicaps, some of the provisions that have prevented people from benefiting off of their labor. But Jocelyn Elder's parents were sharecroppers. In many cases, there were contracts made. And a contract is a contract, but it does not always mean that it's fair to all parties. Remember, prior to this time, it was against the law to teach blacks, slave or free, to read or write. And now you're going to stick a page of fine print in front of them and say, sign it. And many people had to sign with an X because they were illiterate. This is one of the things that makes me want to become literate, understand what's going on. Now, I know that we have some younger listeners, and we have parents of younger listeners who have called in. Let me give you some advice that I think will benefit you for the rest of your life. That is, school is job one. You're going there to learn. There are times when, in situations where people say it's not cool to learn. And I say that's a bunch of stuff. It's easy to pretend to be dumb, but it's not necessarily easy to pretend that you are smart. Those of you that are in school, do your homework and do it as soon as possible after you've had the class. Take good notes. This is your job. And if you do this and develop the habit of doing it, you'll be able to get your work done while other people won't. It's a lot easier to live with when you do this and make it a practice. Because the next morning, you don't have to jump up to school and hope that during first period that you can do your homework for the rest of the day. It is taxing on the nerves. It jangles you. It does so much negative that it's not worth it. If you would spend some time as soon as possible after that class and review, do the homework, do what's necessary. And that is also for the parents to ensure that that is taking place. To the parents, I want to advise you of something else that you can do. And that is to talk with the teacher before you're called in to talk. Teachers are human. And many times they are suffering from the same delusions that other people are. And that is that we don't want to be there. We don't want to learn. We're incapable of learning. But you can do so much more for yourself and for your kid if you will talk with the instructors ahead of time. This is not a confrontation. This is a team approach, a team approach. I had to make time, and I made time. My wife and I made time to go to the school at the beginning of the year to let them know how to get in touch with us, that we were available, that we supported them. We didn't go down there and cuss the teacher out in front of everybody, even if it was even after school. We went down with a conciliatory tone. Now, let me tell you, there were times when we did not agree, and that was communicated very clearly, very succinctly, and we resolved the problems. But I'm not trying to put the teacher down. I'm not trying to do it in front of the student. What we are talking about is the fact that we excel. When I look at my history, there are two major concerns that I have about information that we don't know. And we don't know about many of the people who excelled. And that's right, excelled. There was a story on Garrett Morgan. Was it Garrett Morgan? Anyway, I will give you the story. It may have been a different gentleman that I'm thinking about. But he invented the gas mask and could go into dangerous atmospheres and rescue people. In fact, under the Great Lakes, I believe it was Lake Erie, they could not enter that facility because of toxic fumes. People going to the rescue would have to be rescued. But he donned this. He and his brother donned these masks, went in and saved people. Now, it was proven that it would work. But they encountered resistance, particularly in the South. This shows you how deeply ingrained race is in all of our lives. They could not sell this apparatus to fire departments in the South and in other places because it was developed by black people. Been demonstrated that it works. But we are not to be outdone by stupidity, ignorance, myth on the other side, that prevent this. So what he did was hire a white actor to be him, the inventor. He then pretended to be a Native American and went, donned the mask and went into an atmosphere and demonstrated it. At that point, they began to purchase. Can you imagine allowing people to die because you don't want to use something developed by a person of color? Then there are people that do, some knowingly, some unknowingly. And this is why we focus so much on these stories. But Jocelyn Elder's parents were sharecroppers. They moved to California. And again, read The Warmth of Other Suns. It's a great book. And they went to California. They were there for 2 years in California. And she was exposed to a great educational system. Now, I'm not totally convinced that all of the schools that we attended were that much more superior, or whether it was a matter of fact that we were not overlooked, that we were included, that we were exposed to different experiences. All of these things matter. All of these things matter. In school, I had been fortunate enough to travel to Washington, D.C., and on the way we had passed many of the Civil War battles, many of the American Revolutionary battle sites en route. And I had some knowledge. Now, I hated history because it didn't involve me. It didn't involve the places where I lived or anything else. It was only after I began to understand that we were being excluded as if on purpose. And in many of my cases, I say that they are doing it on purpose. And so we must be aware of that. But she was exposed to a great educational system while in California. And California is not without its racism. At one point, I think California had more racist laws than any other state. The reason? Because they had racist laws against blacks. They had them against Chinese. They had them against Native Americans. And I hope, and I sometimes find myself slipping, calling the people that lived here in the beginning Indians. And I think it's an insult. And I'll tell you why I believe it is an insult. They were not Indians before Columbus arrived. They were Native Americans. They were the Aboriginal people here. They had been here for thousands upon thousands of years, and they had survived. They were not the savages that we see them portrayed. We talk about five civilized tribes sometimes. And what does five civilized tribes mean? Five civilized tribes are based on a European scale, which means that they have a written language. It's not necessary to have a written language. It's great to have, but they were able to survive. They were able to survive food-wise. They were able to provide medically. And many of the things that they did still undiscovered are not credited to them. Columbus never set foot in North America, never set foot in North America. Yet his travels indicate that the people here had been trading with Africans before he got here. We don't hear about that. But that is important because that skews it, not only for black people who are told that we are kind of like the Tarzan movie. We didn't know nothing. The white man had to come over and teach us how to do everything. And that's not true. We find that the Cheddar Man, who was the ancestor of Europeans, 10,000 years ago, they found the remains, and with DNA, they've been able to recreate what he looks like. And that person had dark skin, dark skin. And so over the years, we've fallen prey to a bunch of hooey, malarkey, as it may be called. Sometimes I have a difficult time coming up with words that can be used in mixed company, because I think it's worse than just misinformation. But she came back and she graduated as valedictorian of her class. What does that mean? She was the highest in the class. Does that mean because she went to California and studied for 2 years? No. Because we have people here in this country, such as when we look at the case of the young lady, Murgatroyd, who designed ships for the Navy, whose Navy's hidden figure. It had been taking a group of white engineers over 2 years to design a ship. Over 2 years. She had seen a submarine, a captured German submarine, and was able to look at it and look down into the helm of it and see instruments and ask what kind of person did that, and was told an engineer. But when she went to college, there were no colleges in Arkansas that taught engineering to black people. She took a job in Washington, D.C. She learned computers. And the president said, it's taking too long to design a ship. You're going to have to do this in 2 months, not 2 years. The job was finally turned over to her. Her alone. Now, she had been working on it, came up with a computer program, and while it had been taking 2 years for the best engineers the Navy had to design a ship, when she pushed a button to run her computer program, 18 hours and 36 minutes later, out comes a fully designed ship. We are nothing to toy with. What has happened if we haven't been given the full story? And this is why the backstory of Jocelyn Elders is so important, that we know that we have persevered. We know that we have overcome the mightiest of obstacles, and yet we have succeeded. Jocelyn Elders attended medical school and graduated as a doctor, fully-fledged doctor, pediatrician. She also worked at the University of Minnesota and some other prominent hospitals. And when President Bill Clinton, President 42, was governor of Arkansas, he had appointed her to essentially the same position in Arkansas. So she worked her way up. She earned everything that she got, affirmative action, as if it is giving somebody something. It's not giving anybody anything. It's just removing the shackles that have prevented people from advancing. We ask for the opportunity to work. When we look at our schools, when I was coming along, they spent anywhere from 2 to 10 times as much on a white student as they did on me. And I think that I'm a success story considering those facts. And I think that most of my listeners are. Now, this program is not just for black people, because white people have a misconstrued conception of who and what we are as well. And that's not fair to them. That's not fair to them. When we look at the advances for today, whose lives have been saved by the blood bank, Dr. Charles Drew developed the blood bank during World War II because we were losing so many soldiers to shock and field injury that it wasn't funny, and we had to come up with something else. We came up with that, and it was the blood bank, and it saved countless lives and is still doing so today. Dr. Drew left the American Red Cross because they insisted that there had to be two separate blood banks, one for black, one for white. He said there is no need for that. When we look at medicine, sometimes we develop medicine that may be ineffective for blacks. Now, we share 99.99% of all genes together. And yet, a small difference, I don't know whether it's lifestyle, I don't know what it is, and I'm not going to debate that at this point. But many times we find that. But because people are not concerned with that difference, often you don't know it. I have a doctor now that I respect greatly because of a serious medical condition that I have. And that concern is carried forth because when I talked to him, the first time I talked to him, we changed some of my medications because some of them were found to be somewhat ineffective on people of color. Now, we have to do this. We go into doctors and we sometimes allow ourselves to be intimidated. I say allow ourselves to be intimidated. Why do I say allow ourselves to be intimidated? Because we understand that it takes a lot of information to become a doctor. We don't ask questions. We don't know what questions to ask. I have taken typewritten notes into the doctor saying, question one, this is it, this is it. I take one for me and one for him. And we go through these things. And if that doctor doesn't want to spend the time going through it with me, then I need to look for another doctor. We need to be on the same team. I need to understand what he's saying. Sometimes we get medicine, we get prescriptions, and they don't work as prescribed. Sometimes it's the dosage. Sometimes it's the medication itself. Sometimes there is a period when we have to acclimate ourselves. I know the doctor put me on a medication at one time, and I thought that I was having serious digestive problems because stool was completely black. I didn't know whether I had internal bleeding or not. But it was a medicine that caused that. And he said, oh, I should have told you. Well, that's fine. We got that covered. But many times we just say that doctor don't know what he's doing and give up on it right at that point. That is not good for you. It's not good for the doctor because they learn by working with patients. They need to know the concerns that we have. Dr. Elders was such a person that you could do this because she was a people-oriented person. Some of the areas where she got into a controversy was in sex education and drugs. And she was forthright with what she had to say about them. For example, when we look at some of the things she did, she reduced teen pregnancy, the teen pregnancy rate. Now, how, and this is a rhetorical question, how do we get pregnant if we're not having sex? Somebody's having sex, okay? And we do all the preaching we want to about abstinence and whatever, but many people are going to experiment. She increased the availability of birth control. There was counseling, and counseling doesn't always say do this and don't do that. Sometimes it is looking at options that you may have. Sex education in school. And there were school-based clinics that talked about this. Now, we oftentimes come to false conclusions because we assume so much to be true and assume that everybody thinks the way that we do. And you know, there was a tenfold increase in early childhood screenings. These are so important, people, so important because they can pinpoint things that need to be taken up at the time of birth or shortly thereafter. Mortality rate, that is how the rate at which people die, is often influenced by when they get treatment. Many of our cancer patients wait until it's too late before they get started. I had a friend, very dear friend. I learned just a few months ago this year that he had finally gone to the doctor, and the doctor found that he had cancer, late-stage cancer, and I think within 3 weeks he had passed. Had he gone in earlier, there is a very good possibility he would still be with us. I'm talking to you as a father, as an uncle, as a concerned person, that we need to be concerned about our health. Yes, I realize the Tuskegee experiment was horrible. It's not the only one that was horrible. But hopefully we have put in place measures to prevent that. We often bypass medicine as an occupation because we think it might be hard. But it is worthwhile because we can save lives, not only in our community, but in other communities. When we look at Moderna and the vaccine for Corbett, Kithmikia Corbett, Dr. Corbett, who's now, I believe, on the staff of Harvard University, was the lead on that. And that's what I've had. I've had that. I don't have any problem taking the other. But it certainly gives me a sense of satisfaction to know that we were involved. And the only way we're going to be involved is to participate. And that means by our training, by taking jobs, by not being intimidated, by asking questions, by being part of the team. And this is what Dr. Elders was so good at. She was so good at it. Let me just kind of jump a little bit. Because one of the controversial things that she talked about was the legalization of small amounts of drugs. Small amounts of drugs. Do you realize that the United States of America imprisons a larger proportion of their population than any other country on the planet? Any other country on the planet. And many of those are non-violent offenders, and they come from, in many cases, drug use, a drug possession, such as marijuana. Let's look at marijuana. Marijuana, according to a United States government-sponsored program looking into it, during the Nixon administration, came up, and their proposal was that it be decriminalized. Be decriminalized. But Nixon was in his tough on crime policy. Now, I'm not advocating the use of marijuana. I don't think that should happen. I, having been a law enforcement officer, one of my primary concerns is how does it affect your driving? And I know that people that drink say that they drive better when they're drunk than they do otherwise. All those statistics don't bear them out. I understand that. But let's look at it. During the time of Henry Anzinger, term as essentially the drug czar, he was about to be put out of a job because there was not a problem. And we began to hear rumors that marijuana would make black and brown men rape white women. Oh, we brought race into this issue. Now, when that commission looked at it, they said that it should not be a Schedule I drug. What is Schedule I? Schedule I means there is a high risk of addiction and there is no known medical uses of it. None. You know, for years we've been making jokes that we're doing this for our glaucoma or for some other condition. We're now finding that, yes, indeed, there are some conditions at which it may be helpful. But part of the problem being a Schedule I drug, you had to get it from an approved source if you wanted to experiment with it. And the only place you could get it was the University of Mississippi. University of Mississippi. I'm not criticizing University of Mississippi, but all the strains, all the many people are hamstrung in doing research about it. You know, while she was advocating the decriminalization of small amounts, look at what's going on in Oregon. I think Oregon has hit upon something. And again, I'm not advocating it. Not advocating it at all. But what I'm saying is we have many, many, many people that are incarcerated, sometimes for decades. A decade is 10 years. For simple possession. For simple possession. And most of the people that are hit with this penalty are black or brown people. White people may even use it slightly more than we do. It is not fairly administered. Now, what Oregon is doing is saying, rather than putting you in jail to languish and do nothing but incarcerate you, basically punish you, not give you skills to have when you get out. Now, I just read about a guy that almost spent almost 40 years in prison for possession. Now, it was more than personal use. I think he had 3 pounds of it. But almost 40 years in prison. Now, can you imagine coming out of prison, being away from society for 40 years, coming back, having to survive, and often given nothing but a bus ticket home, and you can't stay with many of your people who are in public housing because it's forbidden? We are setting these people up to return. She was outspoken about it. While there should have been a conversation, there was none. Let me bring up another point that we have with Jocelyn Elders. When she was appointed by Bill Clinton, even the American Medical Association acted like a pure D fool. They started pushing for legislation to make it a requirement person in that position be a doctor, a physician. She's already one. But it was unexpected that a black and a woman at that could be a doctor. And this is by the doctors themselves. We get off on tangents. We get off on following something that is definitely not true. And this is where it is, folks. When you are eminently qualified, do something, and you don't have the opportunity to do it, you are essentially denied. And so this is what she was able to talk about. She talked about sexuality with young people. Again, she decreased the pregnancy rate by bringing it out into the open. That I don't understand where people are coming from when they say the way to make a problem go away is not to talk about it. We have lost so many brilliant people, like my friend that passed away from cancer 3 weeks after it was diagnosed because he didn't know about it. No, he couldn't talk about it because he didn't know about it. But had he known something about it, he could have taken preventative care. I have a long-term condition. And had it been pointed out to me decades ago, and the seriousness of it, I may have been able to change the course of it. I'm good now. I'm getting treatment, and I'm happy about it. And it allowed me to feel good and do what I need to do. And part of what I need to do is to communicate with you. Now, the reason that I gave you that phone number in the beginning, and I'll give it to you again, is that we want to educate ourselves as to what's going on. when we talk about drugs, when people perceived it to be only a condition dealing with black and brown people, it was a moral issue. But now we've got so many other people on opioids and other highly addictive drugs, highly addictive, many of them prescribed by doctors. We're facing fentanyl deaths. Fentanyl is something that doesn't need to be in our system. Talking about the entire system, not our bodily system. It shouldn't be there either. But it should not be there. We have not dealt with the cause of this drug. Now it's being recognized as an illness, an epidemic even. But when it affected other people, not so much. All they have to do is say no, and that's it. What many of these people were going through was not going to be fixed by a pill. Sometimes it cost more. But Dr. Elders was able to talk about it. She was able to stand up, and she did. She did what she was assigned to do. And one of the things that we have from her is better hospice care, an increase in the immunization for those under 2 years old. Now, we can debate immunizations and vaccines until the cows come home. I was raised up on them. I was raised up on them. I was in a, had a caregiver when I was very, very young. And one of her young relatives came down with an illness. They didn't know what it was. They knew it was serious. And every time they thought they knew what it was, I got vaccinated. None the worse aware of it. But as it turned out, he had leukemia. My father had leukemia later in life, but it was a non-aggressive, and it was one that he described and the doctor described, if you had to have a form, that would be the one that you would want. As we talk and as we measure our progress in many areas, we find that we are succeeding. Maybe not fast enough, but we are getting there. I call for more people to be involved in our medical fields. That's all people. Any other combination you can think thereof. Because it is important. When we have only one way of thinking, we're thinking inside the box. Inside the box. Many of our ideas come across from a cross-fertilization of people from divergent backgrounds. They're finding out now that productivity within companies, the quality of the product, even the quantity that can be produced, increases when you have a diversified field of people working on that project. Dr. Elders certainly has nothing to be ashamed of. So in addition to care, and who wouldn't want better hospice care? Hospice is what we end up at end stage life. It's going to be those last days, months or years that we spend. Why not make them better? Why should a person have to languish and suffer at home when we can do better? We had increased ability for HIV testing and counseling. Again, devastating degrees. She promoted the importance of sex education, promoted the importance of hygiene. When we speak of hygiene, we think that everybody knows it. I have a very dear friend now that I think is suffering because of it. Because he has difficulty moving around, I don't think that he takes care of his body and keeps it clean as it should be. This allows infection to come in. And I'm not saying that every time a person has an infection it's because of the lack of hygiene, but certainly error on the side of caution, on the side of caution. Do what is good for you and teach others to do the same. We sometimes don't understand the value of good dental hygiene, but many of the doobads enter our body through our mouth, our nose, our eyes. When we were talking about COVID, they talked about putting a mask over your face. Talked to a guy the other day who thought that that was the biggest joke that had ever come down the pike. Maybe it is, but statistically it shows that it is not, that it works. But at the same time, I was extremely concerned because they don't talk about the eyes. The mask protects the nose and the mouth, but many enter through the eyes. They're moist. They can harbor them. They can allow them to grow. And that is where the numbers come in. When the numbers go up, health goes down. And we've talked about, and one of the other things that she was strong on was prevention of substance abuse in public schools. You know, we've had programs that have concentrated on that, and I think that they are important because we don't hide those things that could help us. We talk about them, and we don't blame people necessarily for what's going on. We see a higher rate of diseases in many times in Black communities. Why? Because as we talked about a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Africatown outside of Mobile, Alabama, homes were established, but the government allowed heavy toxic industries to pollute. Not only were they toxic in terms of chemical, but in terms of noise, in terms of disruption, in terms of just about everything that you can think of. But when you get someone that knows what's there and can address it, diversity, I think, is one of the greatest things we have going for us. When we look at our Supreme Court, you understand that of the 9 people sitting on the Supreme Court, only 3 have been to public schools, and yet they are supposed to represent the majority of the people. How do they know what it's like? They've never been there. Only 1 out of the 9 has ever represented a defendant, has ever represented a defendant. And how are they going to wrap their minds around something that they know nothing about? It's virtually impossible. Virtually impossible. So we look at these things and we wonder about them. Now, I'm going to give this number again. I'm going to give people a chance to call in. If you're on your cell phone and you use the link through the Internet, I don't see you. The only way I see you is if you call in, and that number is 646-668-8217. Normally, I set this program up to run basically an hour with a half hour for questions. If we don't have questions, if we don't have comments, then I usually shut up. But I do want to hear from you, whether we speak on the phone or whether we speak about topics that we have covered in the past or topics that you may want to hear about in the future. Do it. Let us know. The program is designed for you. It's designed to inform you about this. Jocelyn Elder served a fairly short term because of the controversy raised, because she was almost like a lightning rod. She was speaking about things that we have finally, in some circles, gotten the courage to talk about now. Finally, She was back during Clinton's administration. This was president number 42. 42. And we are now going back to that point. This is an awful shame. But she had the courage to do it. Like I said, Oregon is looking at putting people in treatment, not in jail. Portugal, I believe, is doing the same thing. The same thing. What good is punishing a person if we don't teach them then how to live? And many times these come because of the circumstances that people come from. Some people want to make it a circular conversation. But until we get down, get our hands dirty, get our elbows in it, we're not solving anything. In fact, we're exacerbating the problem. We don't want to do that. We can't afford to do that any longer. We have brilliant kids. We have some that, we have some. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that. But our future is in them. And we see this by having people that are not afraid to stand up. In this position, it's not a political position. It's not one that's based on the ebb and flow of two parties. It's based on fact. It's based on what is best. Should it be discussed? Yes. Should it be debated? Yes. But let's get it started. Let's do it. We can't sit here as adults and always want to point fingers at each other. That's not the way that I look at the world. I think that you may have good ideas, although we disagree, and I hope that you reciprocate. When we talk, I think that we'll find that we have more in common than we have not. More in common than either of us realize. Because many times we're looking for the same objective. We just have a different way of getting there. We must face our problems as mature adults. We must face our problems, or we're destined to live with them forever. Now, one of the mantras that I have, and I live by, is we study history so that we don't repeat our mistakes. We study so that we do not repeat our mistakes. But unless we are willing to face what that history was, we're not given the facts. And that is a Tower of Babel. At some point, it's going to crumble. At some point, it's going to fall. At some point, it's going to hurt somebody, maybe even destroy the country. We need civilized discussion on our problems, regardless of what they are, regardless of the perceptions. I feel very strongly that we give the ideas, we put the facts out, and we talk about them as reasonable people. Not you're the dumbest person in the world or vice versa, because we end up taking that to heart and it does not solve problems. This is where road rage comes from. I didn't see you. I hit you. I'm sorry. Let's let somebody decide the outcome of this particular case. Okay. That's not what goes on now. We go bam, 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 bam. We're shooting at each other. The results of a gunshot wound can be fatal. Can be fatal. Generally, the ruling of a judge is not. We both get to live another day. We both may even learn something from it. I'm going to give that number again. I'll wait just a couple of minutes after giving it to see if anybody comes on. Right now, we have a very sparse number of calls that are in on the line. Don't even see my friend Marshall James. That guest call-in number is 646-668-8217. I see Marshall just signed in. I guess if I had mentioned his name earlier, he would have been on earlier. But anyway, the problem is only solved once we face it and discuss it. Once we face it and discuss it. You know, her problem, it was not a problem. But the perception, one, is that we had a black female as the Surgeon General, the head health officer in this country, come in and talk about significant problems, willing to talk about them, willing to stand up straight, look you in the eye, and give an opinion. That's what the job is. That's what it is. So we don't need to blow them away unless there is something else there that I don't see. If you see it, let me know about it, because we can discuss that too. This is how we mature as a people. This is how we mature as a race. This is how we mature as a country. Right now, it just upsets me to see the partisanship that's taking place in our country. And we look at someone like Jocelyn Elders, who put it forth straight and center for lively discussion. Think of the number of lives that could have been saved had we been willing to talk about substance abuse prior to the time that we started having epidemic proportions of people dying. We may have been able to prevent the inflow of fentanyl into this country. We look at what is legal. More and more states are making it legal to have marijuana, but it is still illegal on the federal level. What is produced in one state can't be shipped to another state. Maybe that's good, maybe it's not. But we need to discuss the overall issue. Now, we allow for the use of CBD products. And so what's the difference between CBD and TCH? When we start looking at, there are so many variables. We look at an apple, and there are hundreds of compounds in an apple, hundreds. This is why a Golden Delicious tastes different from a Red Delicious, which tastes different from a Granny Smith, which tastes different than a Pink Lady or a Gala, because of subtle differences that are there. We have to face them. We have to talk about them. There are people that are favorites of each of the apples that I talked about. When we begin to talk about grapes, it's the same thing. In fact, I know more about them than I do about the apples, because I live in Washington State. We have Appalachians, which is basically a growing region by soil, by weather, by exposure to sunlight, etc. The east side of a mountain may be different than the west side, which may be different from another side because of what we get. Now, there is a difference between Vidalia onions and Walla Walla onions. I grew up in the west, and my onion-eating career started in the west with the Walla Walla sweets. The Vidalia onion can only be grown in a certain area. You can take that same seed and plant it somewhere else, and it's not going to be the same. Primarily because of sulfur content, because of other changes that are very small and very unique, but we must discuss them. And this lady had the courage to do it. She resigned not because she could not do the job or because she was not doing the job. She just did not want to be that disruption. When we till the soil, we get a better crop. And the same thing happens with people. When we look at it, when we churn it up and bring some of that from the desk to the top and vice versa, we end up with a better crop. When are we going to realize that? When? When? I hope again to see the same situation arise with this lady, other situations that come along. We need to talk about them. Give people a chance. And that means all the way up and down the chain, all the way up and down the chain. I talk to young people every day, and I come away impressed with some of them. Some of them, not so much. But there are enough out there that it gives me encouragement. And I hope that you parents will work with your kids. Tell them you can. Encourage them you can. And when it comes to homework, do your homework, then play. Do what's necessary before you do what you want to do. Kids would play all day and never do homework. That's not good. Not good for their grades, not good for me, because I may come down with some dreaded disease, and I need that brain power of that kid that I didn't encourage to save me, to save my very life. This was the mission that Jocelyn Elders was on. I think she served and served well. I wish that she had been able to serve longer. I wish that other people had been able to take that message. Now, as we go off, I'm going to give my friend, my dear friend, Marshall James, a chance to comment if he wants to do so. Other than that, we will close it, and I'll look forward next week. I don't know the topic that I'm going to talk about, but I guarantee it'll be interesting. Marshall, are you there? Hello?
Yes, Miss Abercrombie. Yes, I'm here. How are you doing today?
Good. All that Mr. stuff, huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. One thing I always try to do, I try to give honor where honor is due. Man, if somebody is doing something, yes, I recognize them. If you ain't doing nothing, then I still recognize you. But I give recognition where recognition should be given. That's what I try to do. It's an honor to be did you get on the regular time, or did you just get in on after the time changed and swung back?
Well, I got in at the right time.
Okay, at the right time. All right. You know, a time went back an hour. Okay, so
right.
You got it on the right time. So I'm on time. I was thinking I may have been an hour late.
Fortunately, my computer and my clock that I've got on the wall set themselves.
Yes,
and so
right.
That's why I did it. I put a note on Facebook, don't get confused about the time, and, you know, we will be here.
Yes, sir.
But
yes.
As we settle in, you know, that's something else. We're talking about not playing this hopscotch with the time in the future.
Yes.
And that would thrill me to no end.
Yes. And there was somebody with some states were talking about doing away with it. Then other states saying how much money it was saving them. Then so many other states saying how much it was costing them and the cost in lives and the lives of the children going to school, getting up early, early in the morning. So just don't know, I guess.
Yeah, I've been kind of like the rooster. When the sun comes up, I'll get up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't look at no clock.
Yeah, maybe they'll get it set back where it's going to benefit everybody. That's what I hope it'll get to, the point that it will get to. Yes, sir. Person listening to you with your consistency, it tells us what your mindset is. That's what your consistency is. It's about what your mindset is. And you is showing the world through consistency, because you continually to go on and to speak up and to speak out regardless. And people, a friend of mine, they was in yesterday evening from some foreign country they were in. He's in Alabama now, and he owns a restaurant, black man with the restaurant. And we were talking about the same thing. And he said, well, one thing with history, some people don't want to know. He said a lot of people just don't want to know. And, you know, I kind of agree with him. Well, and when you just don't want to know, I guess it's not really any help for us. You know, if you don't want to know anything, you're not going to strive and try to learn, try to find out about it. But this world, I want to know more and more about this world. And you's giving us so much on our race and all. And come next year, we already have a spot set for you for our Black History Month. Already done. Yes, sir. We have a spot for you. We're going to have some people just talking about who has, in their lifetime, what person has made the most difference in your life. That's who we want them to have a word or to speak a little bit about. Because, you know, a lot of people have had a mentors and people that they were like to be like, as the young people say, I want to be like Michael. You know, I want to be like my daddy, because that's all I knew. He was the one leading and guiding. That's who I want to be like my daddy. And I look at things that I do every day. I'm just like my daddy. That's why I'm here.
We can't escape that. Let me mention something to you before I forget it, because I'm getting old. It's Sunday, the 13th. There will be a program at Wofford College.
Okay.
There's a young lady originally from Spartanburg. Her name is Cynthia Reed Wills, and she is a movie producer. And she was one of the first to integrate the Spartanburg schools. And she is going to have a showing of her movie. There'll be three showings on Sunday, 2, 4, and 6 p.m., be at Wofford College. I think the tickets are $10. And the basic kickoff premiere, the one that I'm going to attend, is going to be at 2 o'clock. But she integrated the schools here. Her sister was a classmate of mine. And that's something that you want to put on your calendar if you can.
All right. I'm certainly writing it down as you speak. Writing it down. Wofford College on the 13th and three shows, 2, 4, and 6. Wofford College.
That is correct.
And her name,
Go ahead.
Her name again?
Cynthia.
Okay.
Reed, R-E-I-D, Wills, W-I-L-L-S. And I'm going to have somebody start my show next week, but I will be here very shortly after 4. I'm going to be there probably at 1 o'clock or a little bit after.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. On the 13th, that will be next Sunday?
On the 13th, that's next Sunday.
Next Sunday, okay. Looking forward to being there if we don't have some place to go. Yes.
Yeah, in fact, I had her as a guest on the show sometime back.
Okay. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. That's how we get. That's why I try my best to catch you every chance I can, because you is what I had said. You is an asset. We were talking about being an asset. What's good for your children around you? My brother and I, we would get into it. Leon said, "Yeah, these children need to leave them around. Ain't nothing around you. Nothing. No help. No help." Leon, well, yeah, you can. If you can't make it, you can't make it nowhere. He said, yeah, but look at them. look at them that you notice in trouble and been in trouble. And all of my nephews is in Maryland. and that baby boy used to work in the White House. Who wouldn't, if he'd have been here, he'd have been out of the house. He sure wouldn't have been in that White House. And all of them is working for the, all of them working for the government there in Washington D.C. Them and their wives.
Okay.
Yeah, if they had been here, wouldn't have happened.
Yes, sir.
No, it wouldn't have happened.
One of these days, we're gonna have to talk to that Chuck Wright fella, find out what in the heck is going on. And to those that don't know, he's the sheriff
with Rolling Thunder.
And he used Rolling Thunder. They stopped a bus from historically black college, Shaw University, and had the dog sniff all the luggage. Didn't find anything, but it just seems rather strange to me.
Yes.
But we need to get involved. We need to be involved beforehand.
Yes, sir. That's
Marshall,
exactly right. Yes, sir.
I appreciate you.
Yes, sir, and thank you so much, too. Yes, sir. You was quite an asset to me and to this country, and I know that. I know that. Yes, sir. God bless you. Bless you.
Well, I appreciate your comments all the time. If you have anything else to tell us, let's hear it. I don't want to shut you off, but...
Yeah. Okay.
I'll let you have the last word.
Yes, sir. All right. I just been consistently called talking to my friends and all, and most of my friends and all is if you come out to my church and if you get there early before service starts, you don't know whether to dodge a football or step on a basketball or a baseball hit you upside the head. So I know where all those guys at. They looking at them ball games. I know where they at. They're not listening, trying to find out about our culture and the richness of being a black. Every time I hear something good about some black, what some black piece of people, person has done, that just motivates me to want to do more. You know why? Because I know it's in me. I know it's there. I know it's in me. It's in me to do it. It's in us to do it. But if you don't strive, it's just a lost cause. Lost cause.
It is. It is. And we're going to have a discussion on one of these programs, just me and you, and maybe a couple of friends.
Yes, sir.
And bring up some of those things, because the old-time barbershop, and, you know, meeting under the tree and all that kind of stuff was how we exchanged.
Yeah, and I know where a barbershop is at. I went to it a couple of times, and that's going to be the barbershop that I'll go to. The old guy was into it, so heated about who's the best playing basketball, who the best playing football. Baseball. Then they start talking about the fishing hole, where they fish at and all. One day, two of them, I thought they were going to fight. I said, Lord, you think the boys going to fight out here this morning? They can go out, went outside. One said, if you go out there, I'm coming behind you. And he went out there and hugged them, come on back in there. Still talking the same trash they were talking when they left. Now, if that had been us at the church, they'd had to call 911, 10, 11, 12, 20, and 25. You know. That's
yes,
the way
sir.
But we want to talk about everybody else, and it's not so. It's not so.
Now, how is storytelling coming? Are we working on that yet?
I think we're gonna give up on the storytelling for this year because we've let it go by thus far. I think we're gonna give up on it and take and sit down and get ready for next year and kind of find out. We want your help in this. Find out whether we want to try it inside or out. We'll try it outside.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we make a difference. And, we'll discuss it. Yes, sir.
Okay. Oh, and just for information's sake, I had a guy call me by the name Gene Taylor, and I turned him on to Greg because this guy is into cemetery research, is looking at getting some ground-penetrating radar and some other stuff to read some of these old weathered headstones and stuff. And, you know, again, we've got people that are interested in doing stuff. We just have to join in.
Yes, we have to join in. Just take a part, play a part. People talking about being lonely and And what is that other word to you other than being lonely? I don't know what it is, but I don't have time to be lonely. It's always something to do. It's something to
do. Yes, sir.
These young kids, children, they talking about they lonely. It's something to do if it ain't nothing but clean up your room.
Yes, sir.
And don't wait till somebody asks you to do it. If you see something that need to be done, do it.
You know, that's a lost skill these days.
Yes. Yes, it is. It certainly is, Mr. Abercrombie. Okay. So I guess...
Well, Marshall, it's always been a pleasure, and
yes,
we'll look each other in the eyeballs before too long.
All right. We certainly will. Yes, sir. Sounds good to me. Yes, sir. In fact, we'll
meet next Sunday.
Yes, we'll meet next Sunday. I'll meet you there shortly after church, so 1 o'clock sounds good. No, you say 2.
Yeah, you might want to check and make sure you got a ticket. I can give me a call afterwards and tomorrow,
okay,
and we can talk about that.
All right. That'll be good. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Good night.
Yes.
All of our listeners, we appreciate you. And hope to see you again next Sunday at 4 p.m. All of you be blessed, my friends. Be blessed and study history. We are included, and we have nothing to be ashamed of. Good evening.